Well, thank you all for being here. I assume that because you're here, you have an interest in China, at least a curiosity as to what Mount Hermon is, what on earth is Mount Hermon doing in China? Right? So that's pretty exciting. I'm excited as well and was amazed at the opportunity. And so I guess where I would like to start with that, my name's Susie Clark, right? I'm the director of the Outdoor Science Program. And several of us have gone over to China a number of times now to build relationships with this really neat ministry that's happening over there. The place is called Singing Deer Lodge, and some really neat individuals who we've become really great friends with. Before I get into how that's unfolding and what that is going to look like, I have a few kind of things to set the context of what outdoor science is and what we do here at Mount Hermon, and a little highlight video for you to see and be a part of, and so a few highlights that we have. Oops, that's gonna skip it now, isn't it? Nope. Can you see that? Should I shut the light off? Would you mind the lights just to the left of the door right there? Okay. Hopefully you can see it a little bit better now. So just a few of our highlights from our season. We still have 3 weeks left of outdoor science that is currently going on in the last 3 weeks of May. We have over 3,000 students reached with Christ's love. How we do that is, well, a big part of that is we are an extension of Christ's love, that we embody him, and that is a large portion of our staff, importance of reaching out to kids that way. So around that many students have passed through Mount Hermon, or are about to, this year, which is a really neat, exciting part of our program, both from public schools and private Christian schools in our area. There are more public schools. It's about 75% public schools and 25% Christian schools currently. That changes a little bit over the years and with marketing efforts and things like that. 15 to about 18 staff are mentored through our spiritual formation and leadership program that we all participate in. So we're not only impacting the lives of the students, but the lives of our staff as well, as they grow and mature towards Christ, and as a community, learning how to be a community and grow together in that. And then another highlight of partnering with Singing Deer Lodge in China to run 3 weeks of outdoor science school there. Okay, so kind of some little highlights of our what we've experienced of our year so far. Oh, nice, one of my favorite pictures. That's up there and on top of the hill on a foggy morning. Here's some staff. Here's some more. Don't worry, that one will stay a little while. So this is our staff this year of naturalists and health center staff and school principals and our assistant director as well. So yes, we pay for the staff and their teaching of the students while they're here. So we live here full time. Naturalists live here from September to June, and myself and Kira are the only two full-time employees that live here year-round. This is Kira, my assistant director, and myself, and so everyone else is seasonal, they're called. Some return for another year, and some move on for different types of jobs And some hang around for the summer doing something else because our season obviously is just during the school year. And so, as you know, we do outdoor science through Ponderosa Lodge, and in the summertime, Ponderosa Lodge is then transformed into the fabulous junior high and high school youth camp during that time. All right?
How long does the session last?
How long does what session? Sure. So they'll come every week. We'll get a new set of students who come to Mount Hermon. They will stay for 4 nights or 3 nights, depending on the program. And they come with their school, with their classmates and their teachers. And they organize a trip and bring them, and we provide the program for them as they spend the time with us for the week. Hold on a second here. We went right through. This is where I wanted to stop for a minute. There is a video that of some highlights that's going to play. I'll probably talk over it here. This is during our week of outdoor science for homeschool students. We take them down to Natural Bridges, which is a local beach with tide pools. And they're exploring the tide pools. Here's Amy, one of our naturalists, who's talking about this is a sea otter or a river otter coat. We're building a garden. There's one of our elective classes we do called basket weaving. A four-eyed clothespin. We explore the creek and do some good old mud paint. We built some hovercrafts for the older kids for homeschool week. This is a tree climbing class that we do. Kids get to learn how to climb the trees with this double rope system. Have a good swing. There's Amy again. She's making ice cream, going through some chemical reactions there with the kids. There's our fabulous pool. There's a team building exercise that we do with the students to learn team building. There's our field guide students are going through. Our famous gopher snake and the sticky monkey plant. We taste things and eat things, and there's our climbing tower. All the kids get a chance to climb to the top and play some field games. And of course, we have s'mores. And some good times with songs and skits, and this is Rockets. Jordan, you'll like this one. And some really great hiking and exploring. This is up at Ponderosa and around the various places around campus. And up at the top of Ponderosa is a different ecosystem. It's the chaparral, so there's ponderosas and lots of sand. It's a very special and unique place, but it's also looks like an entirely different place, but it's just right up there. Just because of the change of ecosystem that it is there. Gives us lots of different places to study. So that's kind of just some highlights from what we do every week, what some of the kids get to experience every week. Of course, there's a lot more than that, but our aim is then to do exactly what we do here with public schools and transplant that to China. Okay? All right, so the million-dollar question, I suppose. How did the whole kind of idea come into existence? In 2011, Roger Williams published our 15-year Reimagine strategic focus. And one of those strategic focuses is to build 2 to 3 international partnerships with other camps or people. And so just a few days actually after that was, you know, communicated and talked about, out of the blue, we, Mount Hermon, received a phone call. And the phone call was from this facility, these people in China, who were visiting the States and had heard about Mount Hermon and wanted to come and visit our facility. And they were visiting a few other well-known camps as well. They also went to Forest Home, just wanting to learn more about what camping and conference centers are like in as being a Christian camping conference center. And so as their visit, they visited with several people here, with Bill and Lisa and Roger. And when they came and visit, they were left with, let's pray about this and see where God might lead us as far as a relationship and how it can be a mutually beneficial partnership that we could start. So then after that, Bill Fernald and Lisa went over to China the following year to visit their facilities and see what their place was really like and to learn more about who they are and what they're about. And they spent 8 or 9 days there. And the hospitality that we've experienced with these wonderful people is just amazing. And so just so loving. They're just really neat people. So they were given a really neat tour of the area and their place. Do y'all want to come on in? Or just... That's okay. Come on in. There's several seats over here if you want to go over on that direction. Yeah. And so they came back with a good report of what the facilities was like and the heart and the mission of what they want to do through their ministry. And through those conversations, determined that it could very well be a really amazing fit for a partnership. And so then last fall, September, October, I went over with Bill and Lisa and Nate Pfefferkorn, and we talked with them again and shared and put out, you know, several different ideas of how we could, partner in a real way. One of them being Nate was going to go over and build a challenge course for them that they would implement into their programs, and that we would try and plan doing some weeks of outdoor science for students. And they loved both of those ideas. And so it was a natural fit for doing outdoor science in China in particular. Anybody have any idea of why it might be a natural fit? They don't have redwoods, unfortunately, or maybe not. Anybody have an idea of why it might be a natural fit? Well, they're definitely spiritually interested. How is our public school setting potentially like a setting in China that we might encounter? So it's really our public school setting is very much an anti-God, or you don't use religious language, you communicate the gospel in a different way. And so in that sense, you're using this really great camp context that Mount Hermon does exceptionally well within an outdoor science school program, and placing it in a different type of cultural context, but the climate is still the same. It's still, you don't outright evangelize because of the cultural context. But yet we have this program that is flooded with scripture and spiritual truths, and put in a context like Jesus put it, his ministry in the travel narrative in Luke chapter 10. When he's traveling through Samaritan lands that are very anti-religious, and a lot of his parables, he tells during that time when he's walking through with his band of believers through Samaria. And he tells these parables that are about two things. What are they about?
Love.
Yes.
Service.
Nature. Definitely love and service. And another one, another kind of idea is a big part of his parables. The kingdom of God in the context of nature. So there we have, that's where we set our outdoor science context is, it's about science, which is primarily nature, the creator of the universe.
Do you have an example of how you do that? Just a short one? If you were talking before the group?
Sure. This is one of my favorite stories that I'll tell you. So a naturalist, his name was Matt, our assistant director's husband. He had, during a group of public schools, he had them doing night hike. So we're hiking at night and in a group, and they learn about bats and owls and how they're specialized for life in the nocturnal setting. This was here about a month or two ago. And they also, so they hike around up at the campus at night, and it's really different at nighttime, and most of us don't hike at night, right? So it's a really, it's a scary setting. You're nervous and you're anxious, but the naturalists know how to make it a successful night hike, and it's a place where they can overcome their fears and meet some challenges. But in the midst of this, and you're teaching various concepts, he shared the position, the special position that the Earth has in the universe in relation to the sun. So he said that the sun, if it was 1% closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If it's 1% farther away from the sun, we'd freeze, okay? And then as he's doing this, they're also looking at the stars in the universe, stargazing. One of the students says, and that's why I believe in God. So our program, that's the perfect, you know, ideal thing that you would want a student to say in that context. And so the program is designed to bring kids to that place over and over again where they have the opportunity to wonder at this creation, and they're faced with that awe. and then you can take it from there. Okay, so that's that place that translates directly into the experience in another culture, that you can engage nature, you can teach about all that science, and you can bring them to different places to be in wonder and awe at the creator of the universe. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm gonna continue. Any other questions you have about how that works? I'd be happy to talk more about too, but here we are. The location of this, where this is, are you oriented here to China? And up here, this is Beijing, okay? So this is a location we'll come closer, a little bit closer to as we move forward. So let's see. Oh, for some reason, there's Beijing right there. That yellow tack at the top is Singing Deer Lodge. And this is the sea right there, the yellow sea. It's northeast. It's northeast. Yep. I have it wrong on the. Yep, you're right. Good. This is a large reservoir called the Miyun Reservoir that's nearby. 75% of Beijing's water comes from here. And the Singing Deer Lodge is right up there. Okay, so this is Google Earth. It zooms right in on their Singing Deer Lodge from the satellites. So this is the facilities. This is the village road that you can walk. You can only drive so far on it, and then it becomes just a trail. So we're walking up the valley, mountainous, lots of trees, bushes, and then these are my trail markings that I have on there in red, but there's no, it's just wilderness. You 100 miles and you're into the Mongolian wilderness and into Mongolia from there. So that's the direction that you're traveling. And as we, when we're hiking and doing our trails, we're going to be exploring these valleys. There's a stream as well that comes from up there from a spring and travels down the valley. All right, so that kind of gives you an idea as to what the location is like and what it looks like. Here is a picture of the actual lodge. Very beautiful, gorgeous place. They can hold, they have 47 beds. So that's their maximum for the number of students that they would have. We would teach in English, and their counselors will be bilingual, Chinese speaking. So they'll be, or Mandarin speaking, they'll be able to translate for us. Yep, there's the mountains up close. They call this Western style lodge. They built it on purpose to look like one of our type of style of lodges, but very Chinese at the same time. Quite a few. They do a really good job making little courtyards with sitting spaces and water features. Really comfortable, neat areas. There's an outside deck there. And there's Bill Fernald and Lisa and Nate Peppercorn in the hat. And then this other gal here is Molly, who is one of the people instrumental in all of the happenings. So the Great Wall of China is right here. So we're just very close to a portion of the Great Wall. You can hike to it, hike up one of those steep mountains. There it is, a little closer. Amazing mountains as well. The wind was in our favor. When it's not, when there's not a favorable breeze, the smog does start to come into this area. But most of these pictures, we had a beautiful, clear days. It's a neat waterfall there. The terrain is very rugged, so there's lots of granite, mostly, are the rocks that are around, all different types. That's a good question. I think that it was between 700 and 1,200 feet, so not very high in this location. It's not. It's owned by a group of people, a group of businessmen who have kind of set it all up together. And then in China, you can't have nonprofit organizations that, but it's set up as a group of people who are invested in it. Yes, yes. They are all Christians. This is the creek that is right nearby. The way that lots of farming takes place there is the terracing. These are some really neat guys that were helping us. And this is James and this is Troy. And I believe these are the two that are also coming to Mount Hermon at the end of this month to learn some things and to be trained for the challenge course operation. They're also our guides cutting trails for us as we were exploring and hiking. This was an old, they called this the old shepherd's house. This was a place where there was a former village that had been vacated and moved down the hill. So there's lots of rubble and ruins that are around in this area. And you just hike up the hills and you can explore. This is Chin Feifei. His nickname was Wild Man. We didn't give him that nickname, but that's just call him Wild Man. He was a really neat guy who can cut anything with a machete. There is, what I've discovered so far in this area is there's something called a hog-nosed badger and wild boar and roe deer, the type of deer similar to our common kind, but they're a little different. They're stouter and they look a little different. There are some type of cats, but I couldn't ever get a positive ID on what kind of cats they are or what size. I had conflicting stories about that. So when we're there, we'll see if we see tracks and things like that. Beautiful flowers. Interestingly, this is a flower that grows native there that in the area where I grew up along the Willamette River in Oregon, it's an invasive flower, naturally, that someone brought over who knows how long ago. Here's some of the ruins that we came across of some village houses. And there's part of the Great Wall. You can see it up there. Yes, all in the same location. There's another part of their area there with some neat water and bridges. There are these grinding stones all around there that the villagers would use for their grinding purposes. They would hook it up to an animal, and the animal would pull that around. We could hardly budge it. It's very, very heavy. All right, so this is Nate. He's looking at different areas to plan the challenge course. The terrain is itself challenging in that respect. But we found a neat place, which is here behind the lodge where there is already this terracing taking place. There's some more people here. This isn't a great picture of the people, but these are important people in this process. This is Joseph, who is basically the director of the lodge. And this is Molly again, and this is Gloria, and she's working on the marketing aspect of what we're doing and the financial side of things. There they are again. This is a site for the challenge course. Here they are starting. So this just happened last week. These are some pictures that Bill gave me from their trip that they just got back from. This is the view from the challenge course out there through to the hills. There's a post. They're using post beams that they had already set in place. And there they are. There's constructing. There's Allison doing some building, setting cables, putting on some platforms. They are so excited about the experiential camp context. It's a new idea for them and in their culture, and they're very excited to learn about it and to know how it works and the idea of challenges that are physical challenge and leadership type challenge using the traditional ropes course idea. They're really excited about and culturally very interested in the values that present with it. Here's more pieces of it, platforms and cables. There's a walk, like a catwalk that you walk out on. So kind of similar to some of our Sequoia course or Discovery Grove, if you've walked over there and looked at that, it resembles the setup of that. So we'll be using this with our outdoor science students as well who are joining us over there, the kids. I've had to try to learn all kinds of different plants and animals, like you said. One more picture there of that. Great Wall of China. So I'm also taking some staff to China. So here are some good pictures of people. Well, first of all, It has four naturalists, one photographer or video guy, Susie and Todd, my husband, and our two kids. Trevor is going. Hannah Flagel. She is not a current naturalist. She was a naturalist for me about 3 years ago. She's going to come with us. We have Jordan Snyder, who is another naturalist, who is going with us. We have Hannah Martin as well, who's currently on staff. And then we have Nick, who is going to be the photographer, videographer. He might teach if we need him to. We'll see about that. I might be teaching as well. It will depend on what number of students that we have to attend. We are doing first through sixth grade. So I'm designing the curriculum for each grade level. And we're starting with, by the time the kids are sixth grade in China, our curriculum in the States, they all know the same thing. So I've started with the sixth grade curriculum that we currently use here, and I'm working backwards to adapt then to what their standard content is as we go back into the grades. So there's a lot that is really similar, and then there's some variations that we're writing in. I'm writing in new lessons and new curriculum for that. So that's what I'm currently been working on for a long time. And then here's my family. They're pretty excited. Brady's 6, he's my youngest. Kenya's 8. Funny enough, is all her life, she would say, all her 8 years of life, she's always wanted to go to China. She said that forever, and it's just one of those, really? We're going to do this. So, pretty neat. All right. Preparation. So, we're doing lots of preparing to go. Obviously, curriculum is a large part of that. Since we do homeschool weeks here, which is first grade on up into high school, we have some good curriculum adaptations that we already have. And since we're going to do first through sixth grade as we are there, I'm hoping we can really seamlessly do our program over there because we're able to adapt to it already and we've kind of done it before, just not in the context we will be in. So the challenge will really be the cultural aspect and the language aspect and making sure we understand each other and communicate well and how that plays itself out and all of the many details involved in, can we go to the store and buy a Slinky? I don't know if I can do that in China. So those kinds of questions that I've been asking people, you know, that are over there as far as supplies and what we need in order to accomplish what we want to so we can have the greatest amount of impact. So this is the first edition of the curriculum that I've been working on. We're combining the 4, 5, and 6 grade into one book, and then we'll make the first, second, and third book a curriculum all of its own as well. So if any of you want to have a look at this later, you're welcome to look at that and see just some of the things that we plan on doing. And some of the really fun things that I've enjoyed in that is, of course, the ecosystems are different, and so learning all of that in the context has been both exciting and a challenge as well. All right, so curriculum's a big part. My staff has also been helping me make some lessons to help the process go along, which is really great. And then even just making the program, the schedule. Is 5:30 okay for the time of dinner? Or does it need to be a different time? Those questions as far as, you know, culturally, can I assume some things that are normal or how do I need to adapt our program so that it is culturally sensitive and still appropriate for what we're doing. So that's a really good, it's quite a learning curve for me and for us as we do camp in another country and with still wanting to have the most amount of impact that we can for the transformed lives portion of things. Anybody have any questions as I'm chatting you've been wondering about? Good question. Are they excited about having a Western teaching staff? Yes. In fact, they didn't want me to come teach them how to do outdoor science so they could be the teachers. They wanted Westerners to be the teachers. And they're partly because they're pairing it with also learning English. So having Western teachers teaching in English is a really good another marketing value to get people to attend and send their kids to learn English and to learn their science in a new context at a new place. So the Western part, they were very excited and wanted us to be a integral part of their program. Yeah. How do they select them? I don't know. I don't know if they know yet that they're going to fill all those beds, if it will be a challenge for them, or how much interest there's, you know, it's still 6 months out. They're generating that interest and talking to lots of people. So, and because it's kind of a new idea, I don't think that any of us really know if they'll fill all those beds all the 3 weeks we'll be there or if they won't. They have been doing for a number of years a camp they call Shakespeare Camp, which is a learning English with Shakespeare as the context, which we kind of chuckled at because Shakespeare's English is really interesting. But it's still effective in the sense they're still at camp and they're still learning things. So they have some momentum with the camp that they currently do. So they're wanting to just build off that in a different way. Yes? Yes, they have wonderful crops that are grown there. Walnuts is one of them, which they put in our food. We had all kinds of the really neat, just local produce and food that they harvested right there. They have their own garden as well as. They have lots of chestnuts, peaches, pears, other things I saw there. Lots of the walnut trees are referred to. And quite a few other things that I didn't have any idea what they were. But yes, you can eat that. We put that in our food for you for dinner or whatever. But their grounds, their facilities in their area is a very fertile and very productive place of land there. Mm-hmm. Yes? Yes, it's on the brochure that we helped them develop. Singing Deer and Mount Hermon Outdoor Science are together there. They wanted that on there. So our name is connected with them in that way. Can we teach them spiritual songs? I haven't asked that question yet. But I will, for our campfire program, ask the question of the type of songs that we can sing. So that's it. That's a good question. I'll find out the answer. Definitely. I believe the idea is every year for whether it'll change that amount of time. I don't know. Certainly this is the first one, so after the first one, we'll kind of probably reassess how things went and what will the future look like with that as well. So I do anticipate doing it multiple years. And really, at some point, they should be able to do it themselves, and maybe we'll just go over and support what they do and help do the teaching, and they can, you know, run the rest of it.
I assume that the rest of the time they have adults and maybe families there.
They do have other groups that come and use their facilities. It's kind of like a retreat center. So different groups will come and do their own events, and then they'll also host. They have a few programs that they run. People come and do their program, but most of their guests come and use their facilities to run their own retreat or meeting or that type of thing. But they are looking to grow that as well as they build more programs.
47 beds is not very many.
Right. And while we were there, they were building another area that to increase their number of beds. So they have all up that valley. They have areas. So in China, you can't own land. So they don't own that land. They lease the land. Everybody leases the land from the government, but the government's given them permission to build all sorts of different, they gave them a certain acres that they can build on, and they can choose wherever places, locations in that area where they can build facilities. So they have a master plan to build different little nooks or camps, kind of the way Mount Hermon is in the three locations that we have on the hill here is a similar idea. They have some different nooks in those valleys where they plan on almost building separate little facilities for different programs. Yes?
You said that the facility is actually older by the families that are Christian and confessing Christians?
Yes, yes. All these people that we're working with are Christians. They're Christian businessmen, Christian families.
Okay,
yes.
The people that they currently reach out to, the participants they want, are probably mostly Buddhists.
They may be a mix. They may be Christians that do decide to come to the program, because of course there's churches in China. You can have registered government churches that many people attend, and so
I don't know where
their focus is going to be as far as marketing and attendees. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a ministries that partners with them called Migrant Ministries, and it focuses on that group of people you're talking about who there's a large movement in China where people who lived in the rural areas are migrating, and the young people in particular are migrating into the city to find work away from the rural life that they grew up with or their families grew up with. So yes, Jerry was saying about 15 years ago was when kind of this organization came, I don't know if it was into existence, but was maybe formalized or whatnot in order to help with the ministry to those schools and that education system. So I don't know all of those details. Sounds like Jerry might know more of the details than I do about that. But the heart has an educational component and a heart for youth and young adults in particular as well in that context.
Do they have to control your lesson plan? Do you have to get approval?
No, we don't have to get approval with the lesson plan, just as far as it meets the expectations for the science content. But beyond that, the specifics of it, we don't have to have any other scrutiny or whatnot as far as that goes from their point of view. Yeah. Nope. It's like summer camp. Yeah, so their families would send them to singing Deer Lodge for a week of summer camp, like we would here go to Ponderosa Lodge for a week of camp. So it's during their summer season that's out of school for the kids. Right. Yeah. Right, singing Deer Lodge, right, SDL. Mm-hmm. These really neat connections are emerging the more we explore and plan, and just really neat connections from our Chinese family camps that we have here and other ministries that we get to provide for that Mount Hermon provides. Some really neat people that are, we want to know you, we want to know what's going on, and then they have connections in Beijing or they're from Beijing, and we get to connect them then with Singing Deer Lodge, and quite a really neat network and relationship is developing and building out of that. Which again speaks so much to me about the Holy Spirit really moving and putting that into people's hearts and helping that networking to take place. Even, you know, as you might say, the phone call came out of the blue, which obviously to me that's the Holy Spirit who's prompting and calling, and that we were, you know, ready to, yes, let's explore what that might mean for Mount Hermon. Speaks most definitely of what God is doing. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Really neat people behind him. I was able to meet him when I was there. Really neat man who, yeah, is a part of the leadership of IBM in China, who is on the board of directors for Singing Deer Lodge. And when we explained the idea of this experiential education and camp, he was extremely excited because they had just been learning about how to do some of their training experientially. And that word to him was I know that word, and that it's kind of a new concept of even IBM looking at and doing their training that we get to introduce them to and implement in our camp context and setting. Okay, so I'll move right along. We'll do some more questions as we go. Yeah, finances. So what's happening, and as we go along, we're purchasing airline tickets around May 15th for all of us. Tickets range from $1,200 to $1,500, and then you apply for a visa, and that's another couple hundred dollars on top of that. As I told you, when our leaving and returning time is. And so program-wise, Mount Hermon is paying for my ticket, but then we don't have it in our budget to pay for everyone's ticket. So all the naturalists who are going are fundraising for their plane ticket and their support. And then I'm working on saving our pennies for my family to go as well in that place. So all of us are in that place of fundraising with our connections to get enough money for our trip to China. So, and then of course there's things we are using with our budget, like our supplies that we're going to be using and taking with us, or they're buying some, we're bringing some. We'll be printing the books here and taking them with us, so we have those, of course. So we put up the expense of that. So we're working out the partnership with the expenses as well. But of course, we're responsible for getting ourselves over there and what that means financially for all of us. So that's definitely a reality of where we are in that. If anyone's interested in helping, we're glad to help. Though you supporting Mount Hermon in the way that you do is also just what we need. So, well, they're helping us as far as with supplies and things that we will need to implement the camp. They're gonna, you know, put all of that up for us, all of our housing and our food. There are, you know, support as we are there. So really the expense for running the camp is really minimal for us because it's just our travel. And then once they're there, Singing Deer is doing all of the rest of the financial part of that. So they are really having the load of what it means to run a camp and the expense that is included in that. And we're helping to facilitate the program. So Singing Deer is doing the majority of the financial output compared to Mount Hermon's financial output. That is part of if they are able to raise the additional support money, we pay them like a summer staff person, which is about $220 a week. Yes, right. Unless they want to basically volunteer for those 3 weeks, all their expenses, just their plane ticket, and then everything else, of course, is beyond that. But, right, yep. Maybe in the future it'd be something that Mount Hermon can budget for. I don't know, but at the place it is now, this is the way we're going about it, and we think it'll work out just fine. Right. The Singing Deer is doing all of the facilities and all of the things that it takes to run a camp on their financial side of things. And all we're doing is providing the personnel and the expertise in running the program. And then many of the other expenses are that we have for our little supplies are pretty, you know, I could cover them with my part of my outdoor science budget. So it's really minuscule compared to the expense of, you know, running a Mount Hermon lodge. Okay. Yeah, good question. So what else is Mount Hermon getting out of it? Because obviously we're not getting, you know, cash from camp. Anyone want to answer that question? Lives transformed, touching people's lives, building relationships for connections. Jerry, did you want to say something? Right, part of Mount Hermon's mission is to reach people for Christ here at home and abroad. So we're continuing that place of what Mount Hermon's mission statement is in transforming lives, not only here in the States, but also supporting the church abroad and in other countries. I think the relational payback and connections that we'll be able to build and support will be incredibly valuable, probably more so than any potential cash value that we could imagine from the experience. Is there any reference to the Bible, like in the curriculum, or what do you mean? Well, give me a concrete, like, what are you looking for as far as reference to the Bible?
John 3:16.
Like specific declaration of, do you want to know Jesus? That kind of thing? Or you mean in printed material? Or I gave you a good illustration of programmatically how it happens within our program, of how we bring kids to that place of acknowledging God. And then how we do that within their program is a conversation that I actually will be having with them in the very near future about, for example, things like you said, what kind of songs do we get to sing? Do we get to sing some Christian songs about God at campfire? So there'll be those kind of things programmatically that I will still be having that conversation about, what we're allowed to do so that we're safe and not endangering Singing Deer Lodge and what their mission is about. So that's a sensitive place that I'll be looking more into and how that plays itself out. English language learning. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those teachers go over there and they don't dare say anything in the school about the Bible. But what they hope is that the students will be curious enough to take them and ask them on their free time if they can talk to them personally. I don't know whether you're going to be able to do that with any of these people, but that's where the payout really comes from the ELS staff, is the personal relationship.
Right. It starts with the relationship.
Mm-hmm. And those people, mm-hmm. asking them, tell us more about your God.
Right, yes.
They don't dare say anything mm-hmm.
In the classroom context for the English language schools. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not a direct evangelism approach at all.
Right. It's a missions. It's how you do missions in another culture is how you go about it. And so it... Mm-hmm. 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 Right. Yeah.
Is there any connection between American Bible Society and shipping Bibles over there?
Not that I know of, but so I don't know. Not that I know of, as far as being a connection with the American Bible Society. Don't know. Right, they can go to Singing Deer and join in, right, with missionaries that are, yes, and, right, I've made connections there as well with, I have some youth with the mission missionaries who live in Beijing who I've been able to connect with Singing Deer Lodge as well, that they just had no idea that it was in existence. So there's so many really neat connections again that are being developed and grown. Right. Did someone else have a question over on this side? Thought I might have seen some hand, maybe not. All right. The actual camp, when would we start? August 1st, I think, is the date of the first day of the first week of camp. Right, yeah, we're in process of raising the money for their airline tickets and travel and all of that, right, yep. So we're all working hard and sending out letters and communicating to people about what we need and what we're doing for all of that to take place, right.
Looking at that picture that you have up there, we have a missionary that's in China, but way west of where you are going to be, but their children are
Oh, wow.
They're kids.
Right. Yes, I know that My kids will, they are so great at just making friends, and I know that they will have a great impact on the kids who come and being their friends and what that means. So that's definitely will be a really neat part of it. Yep. They put in, yeah, it's a double lane, right, road. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, and they call themselves the first Christian conference center in China, and we believe that is true, and that's a pretty neat beginning to something that we get to be a part of in that way. Yes. So you can be a Christian in China. That is very common. You can call yourself a Christian in China. You can belong to a church in China. You can go to a government-sanctioned Christian church, or you can go to one of those home churches that, by the way, aren't small. Home churches, when they say home churches, it means they might have still 1,000 people who go to the home church that meet in a church. And so the part that the government doesn't like is when you evangelize, when you go out and you preach the gospel and call people to come and turn to Christ. So they don't want you organizing events or having evangelistic outreaches like that. So Singing Deer can call themselves a Christian conference center, and the government is very fine with that, but they won't allow them certain activities like evangelism where they go out and they can't have that type of activity for one of their programs at Singing Deer. But people can come and do their own program that is Bible-centered at their facility. Does that make sense? It's not illegal to be a Christian. You just can't do certain activities that the government has deemed that is illegal.
How do you prove that everyone is already a Christian?
I don't know. They can't, obviously. Yeah, you couldn't. The government wouldn't know if you were already one or if some evangelism actually took place. Yeah, it's not a secret, and our perceptions of how it did used to be in China much more, but it has opened up in that way so much more over the last several years. Yes. I don't know any. I haven't heard about it. The protests around a church, and then the government did come and bulldoze the.
I just read the article.
You did? Yes. Tell me about it. Okay, so they did some illegal building. Okay. Right, so did you hear what he said about what had actually happened is they had built beyond the boundaries of what they were given permission to actually build their facilities, and so because they went way beyond that the government decided that wasn't a good idea, which I guess that makes sense in a sense. Saving face is very important.
Are we as a government going to save face? By not allowing these people to do what they should not do. And they were getting pressure from up above.
So they had to take that sort of action to prevent that from happening again, I suppose. It is the fastest growing Christian, right, population. That's pretty amazing.
Well, one of the reasons why the government of China likes the Christians is they like the value system.
The value system is very good, right? The family values and the, right.
They're very happy. The church apparently did by violating the rules, then you're not accepted.
Right, then you need to be careful. Right.
It's a fine line, but it's definitely open to the extent that family values.
Family values and educational values and knowledge and education, those are all very, very highly valued in the culture. Right. Which again is why an outdoor science school has such great potential, because of all of those values wrapped up in there, culturally, are really accessible. Which for us, because we do it every day at Outdoor Science with our public school kids, to me just feels very... Right, you do have to watch your language that you use as far as your Christian language. And we have to be careful with Singing Deer and their staff. We do have to still be sensitive with our connections with them and our letters to them and things like that. That is still definitely a reality of what we have to be careful with as well. Yes. Some may be Christians, some may not be, right, mostly unchurched. Nice, that'll be some really great relationships that you'll be able to develop, I'm sure, from that. And that's exciting. Any other questions particularly about what we're doing? Can you get behind Mount Hermon in how we're exploring this avenue and in what we're doing? I hope so. It was kind of a question, kind of a statement at the same time. You can give an evaluation to me personally and we can talk about that. Yes. Right. It was already part of our what God had been speaking to leadership, and then communicating that about desiring international partnerships, and then here you go. The opportunity presented itself. That is really neat and feels like a gift that we get to just continue on that pathway.
2 years ago, they gave us a cup.
Right, I remember that cup, I think. A Singing Deer? Maybe it was to that. The Mount Hermon connection. Well, the rest of these pictures are just more of the part of my trip that I had there. It's Tiananmen Square. This is in Beijing. We spent just a few days there on our way back from our last trip. There's Nate. And yes. It is humid. In the summer, it's 90 and humid. Where Singing Deer is, a little bit up the mountains, it's a little bit cooler than in the city. Not quite as much smog. Nate and Bill wearing their American plaid all the time. Yeah, now you can see the smog, right? Tops of the temples there. And there's a stonemason there creating a brick. This was the Forbidden City. All these hallways of... Very interesting. Yeah, this is in the middle of the day with all the smog. The more of these figures you have on your roof, the more important you are. The meaning of that. This is the moat surrounding the Forbidden City. This is during the day. The sun was, it was, let's see. It was the evening. The sun was setting here, so it was starting to go down. Yeah, that's the sun. We could see the stars where we were, yes. It was some really clear, beautiful nights. Mm-hmm. Yes. This was a market that we walked through there. And of course, there's a Starbucks. We can get a cup of coffee, right? Yes, Linda? Yeah, well, they haven't put in place a lot of, you know, it's like LA used to be before when we had serious issues in Los Angeles with the smog because of the industry and the non-regulated things that happen. It's primarily a coal-burning nation for their fuel, and so everybody burns coal to heat their house. So because there's millions of people that live there, just accumulates. They are taking measures to try and improve their air quality and their water quality. I've been reading a little bit about that, but it's just a big and slow process and project. Right, all of our industry's gone over there to China. So in a sense, we're also contributing to... There is, yep. Where there's more smog, there is a higher rate of health issues related to the smog. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a documented evidence of all of that. Well, I went to the Natural History Museum when I was there, which was interesting. I just took a couple pictures of things. And then I think it'll be just about the end. Pretty butterflies. And that's not very interesting. And that's it.